the memorial. We have a high smattering of people. Hey.
How you doing?
All right, fight poverty, not the poor.
Right.
Except here's a guy with a note. There's no planet. There's only us, I guess. So where are you coming from?
From Salinas.
Of course. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Robert. How you doing, man?
All right, good to see you. And we got Anthony for Anthony, any comments before we begin?
Well, you know, tonight we remember Desiree. We hold her up and we mourn her as a fighter and a sister. You know, we, like we say, we honor the dead, fight like hell for the living. Tonight we honor our sister, and tomorrow we continue the fight for the living. We hold the city responsible for this tragedy, and we intend to see to it that justice is done.
Good. And with your help, perhaps we'll be able to do that. Thank you for your recent efforts in the last 6 months with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, it looks like a small gathering, but nice one. There's signs along the fence. The city lied. People died. And there's a picture of Desiree Quintero. Rest in power. Of course, next to the Union of the Homeless banner, Santa Cruz chapter. All this next to one of the few remaining phone booths in town. Then there's a new banner. Everyone is affected by homelessness. People before property. Lead me home. And then there's more on the banner as well. There's also a small table with vases of flowers and a photo of Desiree. There's a sort of a microphone set up. Got some musicians showing up. Why is being homeless a crime? Did you make this sign, sir? It's a nice looking sign.
It's proud to be its post, though.
Okay, we're going to...
Right on. And we got Keith McHenry and this character in a yellow vest. Are you part of the French yellow vest movement, sir?
That's correct.
I see. And interesting. Some people regard that as an alt-right movement. I may have to examine your a little more closely later on. What is your name, sir?
Wes White from Salinas.
You are a man who does a lot of videoing. Have you come here to do some videoing yourself? Or are you bringing the sound equipment or both?
Did both, actually. You know, the PA system works well if you can hear what they've got to say, and this is a very important moment as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, one of our very dear friends passed, and she fought to be indoors, you know, at least adequate shelter space somewhere safe, and where she had to go was not safe, and where everybody else had to go was not safe.
And still is not safe, for that matter. How many folks came over from Salinas with you?
We got about three people with us. Yeah, Rita Acosta, who is our Salinas Homeless Union co-president.
Okay. Okay, we have a off-camera comment. So we have a lot of folks here. I'm counting 10, 20, 8, 8, 9, 30, 40, 50 people. But it actually looks like a usual Food Not Bombs crowd. We got two guitarists. And...
okay, is that sound okay?
You can hear the
okay, you get,
things
so
setting up and starting.
I'd like to introduce our band. What's the name of your band?
We're called, let me think about this.
The Invisible Band is here.
We're the Invisible Band.
The Invisible
okay.
Band.
Supporting Food Not Bombs,
and
now
then after
forever.
The Invisible Band played some tunes, the first song, and then what we're going to do is we're going to have some words from... Daryl Darling, Pastor Daryl Darling, and a prayer. And then after that, the Zen Center will be doing a sacred bell ringing. And then we want everyone that knows Desiree to come forward and share their experience of her in their lives. So thank you everyone for coming today. And so first we'll listen to a tune by the Invisible Band.
That was Keith McHenry speaking.
You know, it's special, very special when people turn up for a passing
And that's so wonderful and so beautiful. But it's also extra special when people who don't even know this person shows up, because people show up for everybody. We're all one, and it's a beautiful thing that we got a chance to play here today. Thank you, Keith, and thank you, Alicia. And this is called Till We Meet Again. I wrote this for those who have passed and departed. And remember, you will see them again.
Is Daryl? Did we lose Daryl? Oh, we didn't lose Daryl. Karen's here. We didn't lose Daryl. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I want to share a couple of key thoughts from someone who was a poor, resourceless, oppressed Jew in an occupied land, occupied by an empire, the Roman Empire. This man was just pretty much footloose and had some wisdom about the human situation and a good way to thrive, a good way to live in community. And that, more than anything else, is what we celebrate this evening. The life of someone who, as E.E. Cummings said in one of his poems, conceive a man who, having nothing at all, would give a little more than it away. Now, does that sound like someone that you know, who, when she had a home, she shared it? When she had an apartment, She shared it when she had food. She shared it when she didn't have anything but a piece of paper that wouldn't be honored at any rental that she sought to stay in. And then on that little shred of property, that little slice of the earth, helped organize a community, create out of unassembled individuals, likewise, who had nothing, on that little slice of earth, brought community, as Alicia wrote, you want us to clean it up, we'll clean it up. You want us to get the needles safely put together, and we'll work on that. Whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. But let us put together and keep together community. That's all that we ask on this unoccupied little slice of earth. And this woman brought us together. And I'm honored to be asked to be with you, that you trust me. Most of you don't know me. I've been somewhere with you in council meetings and sometimes at a camp and sometimes helping organize a camp years back. So thank you very much. This is the woman that we honor today. The woman who, having nothing, gave more than it away. That seems really pretty impossible. You know what she gave away because it was from within her. What she gave away was the spirit. And I share with you the first words that are recorded, that are written, of the man that I was speaking about earlier, this dispossessed Jew in an occupied land. His name was Jesus. These are the first words that are in the Gospel of Luke and also in the Gospel of Matthew, spoken by Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the moment of the Lord's coming. Now, is there any confusion about that? Is there any way that you can twist the meaning of Jesus' way? Is there any way that it can be misunderstood? What Desiree was saying, let everyone know that I love them. Let them know, let people know that I love you. There is no way to misunderstand that. Is there any way that a city with all the resources that we have in Santa Cruz can misunderstand, after elections, after all that we know about houselessness and the lack of resources in our community, is there any way that anyone can misunderstand the priority, the absolute priority, that having a roof overhead, four walls, and a roof and a home. Not investment property, not a vacation rental that you can drive to for a week, maybe 2 weeks out of the year, but a home. That's our number one priority. Is there any way to misunderstand that? Just in case anyone did misunderstand it, listen to what Jesus has to say. Blessed. And this is going to be, this will be a little bit difficult to understand. And this is why I really want you to understand it as a priority faithfully, as a priority for human community, as for the species, and for this city. This is our priority. Blessed, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You might not be able to stay on this little slice of abandoned property in Santa Cruz, but the kingdom of God belongs to you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, exclude you, revile you, cast you out, and throw you around. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. And no one but a person without resources, as my professor Brevard Childs at Yale Divinity School said, the only sermon I went to chapel every morning while I was in seminary for 4 years at Yale Divinity School. And there's only one sermon that is fixed in my brain, and that's the one that Brevard Childs gave. He said, after he had read that scripture, he said, none of you, this is not for you. You are not among the poor. You are not among the people that Jesus was talking to. You may share the good news, but you are not this good news. You don't understand, and you never will understand. And I don't understand. I have never been where many of you are. Jesus was. Desiree was. Many of you are. And it's to you that I share this good news, that in spite of that, in spite of everything that she lost, she gave from within herself a spirit, a means by which justice could be obtained, could be done. She organized, she did she was a bright woman, and she gave her energy and her brain and her time for all of us, all of you, to find home. That's the blessedness that Jesus was talking about, the love that Desiree shared with us and tried every way to share with the community. And we carry on that good news. God bless you, Desiree Quintero.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Thank you. So now we're going to have the Zen Center of Santa Cruz come up. And then after that, we want to open up the mic to everybody and also remind you that there will be a memorial Tuesday at 4 o'clock outside of City Hall. Because as our banner says, the city lied and people died.
And we have five people, one with a drum, who are six people, it looks like.
We'll be chanting the Shosan Miyakichi Jodorani, which is done to remove all hindrances. Shosan Miyakichi Jodorani. Nomo Samanda Motana Noharaji Jodorani. Having chanted the Shosan Miyakichi Jodorani for removing hindrances, we dedicate the merit of our chanting to the ongoing permanent memory of our dear departed friend Desiree Quintero, and may our chanting continue to open our heart for people without homes, for people without full bellies, and may our compassion and bellies be completely full throughout eternity. All Buddha.
So, Alicia, I think you should be the... You don't want to be the first? Is Marcos here? Do you want to be the first? Marcos, do you want to speak?
We're too upset, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, Anthony, why don't you speak first? We'll break the ice.
It's very hard.
Well, some of you know me. My name is Anthony Prince, and I'm with the California Homeless Union. Some people think I'm a tough guy, but I have nothing. I don't measure up by any kind of degree to Desiree Quintero. Desiree Quintero was one tough sister. She was one tough sister. And so today we honor our sister. She was an officer of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union. She was the named plaintiff in our federal lawsuit. When we discussed filing suit against the city of Santa Cruz to try to convince the federal court not to close Ross Camp, and we warned the city of Santa Cruz and we warned the court what would happen if people were exiled from Ross Camp, that they would face an increased risk of harm and even death. And we said, who should be the first named plaintiff in this lawsuit? And there was no question of who would be the first named plaintiff whose name would first appear on the case caption in our lawsuit, but Desiree Quintero. This short ball of fire, this massive heart for the homeless, and this brilliant organizer whose spirit pervades us even now, today, as we honor her memory. So today, I'm here, and I feel very sad because Desiree was a sister. She was in the Poganip. She was exiled to the Poganip, like so many others, when the city lied. and falsely represented that they had adequate available shelter for everybody, that everybody put out of Ross Camp would be taken care of. We knew that was a lie at the time. And it's a sad circumstance that we had to prove our case with a fatality. It's a sad pass when we have to demonstrate our truth by burying one of our sisters. That's a sad truth. This is a war, and they say that in war the first casualty is truth. But we're here today to speak Desiree's truth and to honor her memory by lifting up the work she did. So tonight, I'm really honored to be here. This is my home. Wherever homeless people are organizing and fighting is my home. So I feel at home tonight with you guys. I want to lift up all my sisters and brothers here from the Santa Cruz Homeless Union who become an inspiration. 3,000 miles away, two nights ago, our newest local union, Lancaster Homeless Union in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, conducted a vigil for Sister Desiree Quintero. 3,000 miles away, all across the country, the name of Desiree Quintero is being lifted up, is being honored, and is being studied for the model that she was, that poor people and homeless people do not have to be helpless. They can organize. She proved the self-organization of poor and homeless people in Ross Camp when all others abandoned the homeless in Ross Camp. She proved the self-organization, the determination, the capability and intelligence to organize. So no one's going to save us. We're going to organize to save ourselves. We're going to organize ourselves to save this whole planet that's burning up because human life is not regarded as precious. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So I'll just say that I have the sad duty tonight to share with you that Desiree Quintero was not content to just go to the Poconup and hide. She walked through that area, and on the night that she died, my understanding is that she was looking after the well-being of others. So she was carrying out her responsibilities and as an officer of the Homeless Union. So she is the first of our officers to die in the line of duty. The first of our officers to die in the line of duty. We stand tonight determined that she will be the last, because no one should have to die in the United States of America for lack of a place to live. No one should have to die in a country and in a state that has wealth overflowing. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight, sisters and brothers? All right, I'm done. Thank you for welcoming me into your home. God bless you all. God bless the memory. God bless Marcos. God bless Felicia.
Hey,
Lucero, how you doing?
Good.
Hello. Yeah. Ventura. It's our sister from Ventura.
Hey, Lucero.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Drew.
Good to hear you.
I'm not going to speak to the character of Daz. Everybody that knew her knew what she was like. Everybody that knew Daz knew what she was like. I don't have to speak to her character. She was pushy, sometimes a little bit, but she pushed us in the right direction. She was tough, but she always had everybody's back. You know, she was loved. She is loved. She's missed sorely, and the world's a sadder place. But I want you to know, Desiree, wherever you are, you spoke loud. You spoke with passion. People heard you. We still love you. Your voice still rings in our ears and our hearts. Thank you.
Who would like to speak next?
You ready?
Are you ready?
We have two women coming up to speak, Alicia and another woman.
Desiree was one of my best friends. I have known her for
I want to say since 2008 or 2009. She taught me to pay it forward. She was a very selfless person. She would give you anything that she had. She was a very thoughtful person, a very tough person. I mean, like the person spoke before me, everyone who knew her knows that. I tried really hard for the situation to be different. A lot of people know that. This is very personal. I miss her so much. I never got a chance to say goodbye or anything. I really wish I could just have, you know, 5 more minutes, but I can't. And I just miss her. You know, she can't be replaced. And I wish that she wasn't gone. I feel like this didn't have to happen. You know, she was only 55 years old. And I just wish the situation was different. I will always miss her.
I love Desiree. I traveled a lot just to keep coming back and seeing her. I spent hours and days at her house, and I drove everywhere with her. And she was just getting ready to come see me too, and I don't get that chance now to see her. And I don't get to say goodbye, but I will always remember her. She made a huge impact on my heart, on my life. So Des.
Desiree, I'd like to come forward and share what you know about your lives together. You can stand up. Thank you.
I didn't know her as well as most, but I do know the life of a virtuous person is never, ever an easy one. Never really going to know anything but pain of some type. You know, but Desiree was way past that. She was in a melancholy and despair where the big boys are at, you know? And she brought up a point to me, you know, even using the word fucking homeless. It's the new word for niggers, what it is. You know, when you're called homeless, you're not really fully a person anymore. And every time I got looked at a funny way or my feelings hurt or something like that, just for breathing, you know, something that she would always tell me to keep my head up, you know, to be remembered if not name but deed, you know. It's going to take 5 of her to replace one of her, 5 of us to replace one of her. If anything. So if you're gonna talk all that bullshit about organizing and all that stuff about coming together for community standards, that's what this town is asking for. You know? That's not what anybody's asking for, it's just what natural state of things. Just to simply get up to be a human being. Desiree was that person, that volcano you built your house next to. And what happens when it erupts, you build it again. You know? To remember it as a woman of power, one life, you're venerated and respected, next you're burned at the fucking stake. You know, there was nothing like her that I could think. She was truly a lion.
Thank you. Sonny, did you want to say anything, or Marcos, or any more friends want to come forward? Thank you.
Hi, my name's Tanya, and I've known Desiree and Marcos for probably about 15 years, and I don't know if some of you know this about Desiree, but she was a firefighter. She was part of the Peace Corps. She had a smile that would light up a room, and she had fire and spirit, and I used to listen to oldies music with her. She loved listening to some good oldies jams. And years ago, I was homeless myself, and I lived at the Family Reveille Center where I met Marcos and his mom. And we became fast friends, and I've been blessed to have Marcos, her son, part of my life all of these years. And Desiree as well. I know the struggles are real out there. I've lived through them myself, and I know that anything's possible. You put your mind to it and you band together, there's power in unity. And the best way to honor Desiree's name is for everyone to band together and to lift each other up, because there is a way out of the darkness. I can tell you from my own experience that I found it. And I just want to, you know, say thank you to Desiree for all of the laughs and all of the good times that we had, and all of the times she was there for my kids. She used to take my son surfing down at Sunny Cove, and she was a big part of our lives, and I just feel very blessed to have her son part of my life today, and I think of him as my son. And I just want to say thank you, Desiree. We love you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Would somebody else like to speak? If it was not for her, there would not be the resistance that we now have in Santa Cruz. She was that inspiration. And so, as Anthony had said, and others had said, we're not homeless, we're not helpless, or we're homeless but not helpless. And that's the message that she lived by when she lived in the Poconip, when she lived in Ross Camp, when she helped form the Ross Camp Council, when she envisioned a way that a community could camp together safely and take care of one another, as was already happening at Ross Camp, but could be, have even been improved. So, in her honor, we want to continue this resistance, and we want to know that we can self-manage our own transitional camps. We can end homelessness in Santa Cruz, in California, in the United States. When I started Food Not Bombs with my 7 friends in 1980, there was no conversation about people living outside. It was assumed everyone would have a place to live, except for a couple of people that you saw at the downtown at the corner, Crazy Louie or something like that. But the idea was there was no, people had housing. And when the first action of Food Not Bombs, we thought we were going to dress up like hobos and pretend like we were homeless, and if the policies of the country would continue the way that Reagan was promising, the banks were promising, that there would be people living outside. And now today, there are millions of us living outside. And it's time that we return to that period in American history when most people had a safe place to live. And we can do that if we unite and we work together and we hold the city of Santa Cruz accountable for their crimes against the people living outside. It is nothing short of intentional murder what is going on. We have had way too many memorials out here of our friends. And it just needs to stop. People don't need to be dying of hypothermia on our streets near St. Francis Soup Kitchen, or dying in the Poconips from a fallen tree from the Diablo wind, or from behind the Bank of the West in a cold winter night when Wheelchair Chris was found, or any of the other many, many friends of ours who perished on these streets needlessly, because this city and this state and this country is at war with the working people who built this country. How many times have we stood here and had a conversation like with Desiree about how she was a firefighter and she was defending our state from fires, and now she is a victim of this, of not only the the criminality of the city and county of Santa Cruz, but of climate change, which caused the Diablo winds to be so intense, to blow trees down on people who have been forced out of Ross Camp into the woods. I've been hearing story after story of people who live in the Poganip who have shared that fear of a tree falling on them. And with the falling of the tree on Desiree, that fear became reality. So I encourage all of us to work together. We are very strong. We're a family. We know each other. We might get into family squabbles like what Drew was saying earlier, but we are family. And we need to stick together and organize together. And if we are, in the honor of Desiree, united in the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, and we start to apply pressure that there be toilets in our city for people to use, that there be showers for people, that the Salvation Army does not treat people poorly at 1220 or at Laurel Street, that they trust, we are family, we don't need to be wanded and searched and treated like criminals by this city. We don't need to have the last safe shelter of our vehicles to be towed in a massive war by Andy Mills and Susie O'Hare and Martine Bernal, Martine Watkins, of Cynthia Matthews. The criminality of these people, they are the people that should get to experience the nights in jail that we have all got the chance to experience. Because they should not only spend one night in jail, they should spend the rest of their nights in jail, and we should spend the rest of our nights in a warm, safe bed. Thank you. Does anybody else want to share any words? Thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Keith. I never exactly met Desiree. I almost met her. We were in the same place at the same time, but she's my hero, of course. And that only amplifies in the way we lost her. But I want to remind people that there are a lot of other of these kind of martyrs who, where a nursing home is their death sentence because they can't get one until it's too late. And then they're put in a nursing home like Linda Edwards a long time ago, and I can list dozens of people, unfortunately I only remember first names, who we lost track of, and a week later they're dead. Desiree can help us remember all these people because she was out front that way. But it takes all of us, it takes this many people and one more to create the groundswell of solidarity that a union, any kind of unitedness, that solidarity will give us. It'll grow more than we can even imagine, I promise. And I'm getting tired, Sue, it needs to happen soon. There are so many ways to kill people, and yet I get smacked around psychologically at the county when I say words like genocide. But it doesn't shake out any other way. We are under assault by people who don't even know they're contributing to people's demise. And it takes that kind of integrity, it takes the kind of honesty Desiree was an example of, for people to begin to realize that the word homelessness, I'm so glad it came up this way tonight, formerly a euphemism, so we didn't have to know quite what we as a society were doing to people falling down. And now it is, it's the new word for nigger, like someone said earlier. While we continue to kill black people in the same vicious, sneaky way, but now it's a class struggle. It's a class struggle like it hadn't been for a while. It wasn't in the 60s when we could get information in every neighborhood about that, but it didn't feel like that because there was an economic growth, I guess they call it. But that's been taken over by, well, I think, by things like corporate personhood. At any rate, it's gone. And we're struggling, and there's more of us, and we'll have more power when we all get our focus on. And you can do that and go home and find you might have to do it again the next day. But if we do it together and we know there's people behind us, it'll flow. And this is our town, as much as it is the corporations who come in and bought the buildings that our parents used to live in. This is our town, and this is the town of the young men that can't get a job, can't even get health care, and they're wandering around without a clue even how to find Food Not Bombs. And eventually, maybe they'll get lucky because there are people who talk. I get the news from the street. I'm just saying, we can get a lot of courage, but it doesn't stop the trees from dying in a storm. So we got to get a lot better definition of shelter. If someone can cut your house down with a pair of scissors, is that shelter? Can we let the county say that's a definition of shelter? If you can get rained out and you're not allowed to even walk out of the place, is that safety? I don't know. I think I'm getting a little too specific. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Linda. Any other people like to come forward?
Thank you. My name is Elise. I saw Desiree before the Ross Camp, but it was at the Ross Camp that I met Desiree. And I just want to say, and I hope you all will respond, that her death was uncanny for me. Her death was so, as Anthony said, extremely significant. Not that anyone else's death is less, but because she stood up and she was a leader. And that's how I knew Desiree. Alicia Cool and Keith and Food Not Bombs people, the harm reduction groups, and so many people, Democratic Socialists of America, but also so many church people were coming there. So many homeless people went there. It was a community, and it was one of the first times in Santa Cruz that we had a togetherness and a community, and Desiree was a leader of that community. The last time I saw Desiree, she was on her bicycle crossing from the Saturn to go across to the Taco Bell down Pacific. I would see her there on her bicycle. Desiree uncannily died at time, at an amazing moment when we are working to hold the city accountable anyway. That's what we're working to do in the homeless union, in Food Not Bombs, and the people like Alicia Cool and others who represent. And many homeless people have been coming to city council for the first time in the last 6 months. I've seen more homeless people show up and speak. Lion, Sunny, all kinds of people showing up, feeling their power. And it's because people have that leadership inside them. Nobody can lead us who are outside trying to live. How many times did I look up into the trees, the redwoods actually, and think, well, it's kind of a windy night. I'm tired, I don't want to move, but if I don't move, I might get hurt. So I found a spot where there were no trees over me, but it was a peculiar spot, and I'm not telling any of y'all where it is, okay? Just in case, I might need to go back there again. It was also, I felt safe from the mountain lions, okay? Because that's real too, there's all kinds of things. Desiree led us, and when I met Desiree at the Ross Camp, like Alicia Cool, I thought, wow, this woman's together. This woman is in charge of herself, and she's nice, and she knows what she's doing, and she's organized, and she led us. And that Ross Camp is a heroic and amazing feat. That Ross Camp was a huge success. Lucero is here tonight. Lucero was with the Freedom Sleepers. The Freedom Sleepers had to go to City Hall to have a place to be. What was amazing about the Ross Camp is that people started living there and helping each other out, and more people came, and it became a community. So I just want to conclude by saying the uncanny death for me, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, and if anybody wants to say presente to Desiree's spirit, because it's too uncanny for me. I feel like Desiree, once again, is leading us. I feel like Desiree is saying, you know what? My spirit is so strong, I'm going to lead us all in my death, and I'm going to say to the city, you have to give us transitional encampments. Like now. Because we can't have people dying under trees because it's windy outside. It's often windy outside. And Desiree deserves to have us remember her, I feel at least. Desiree deserves to have us recognize, like other people, like Lucero and Alicia Cool and Anthony and Keith and Sonny and so many of us out here. Say your name if you want. Desiree Presente. Desiree, thank you, because we're going to hold this city accountable. We are going to get transitional encampments, and then we're going to get housing for poor and low-income people. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you for your uncanny death, and we feel your spirit leading us into the future and help guiding us. And it was an uncanny timing, but we know that you are part of this. You are part of us coming together and moving forward together. And we will remember you. Thank you for being such a wonderful leader.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody else like to speak?
You want to speak? Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I didn't want to say much, because hearing heartfelt comments about Desiree by people who cared very deeply about her are really what this memorial is about. But the last few speakers have raised issues that I think are really important, and I think that Desiree would have said were really important, based upon the many times I've heard her in the camp council and in interviews which I do for free radio. For example, on Tuesday there is another memorial at City Hall, but I believe there's also going to be an event which Keith may talk about all day long at City Hall, involving distribution of different things to folks who are there, whether it's food or sleeping bags or other items. But more important, it is the people at City Hall who need to be held accountable for this. Not just Desiree's death, but the next death and the death after that. And just the misery of people sleeping outside every night, having to face citations for blocking the sidewalk, citations for being in a park after dark, citations for, these are hidden camping citations. We thought the courts were going to protect, but they're not protecting. As Anthony and others have said, people have to protect themselves, and they do this by forming the kind of community that Elise was talking about, and that Alicia and Desiree and the people at Ross Camp formed. And that's one of the reasons Ross Camp was broken up, because it was a community of homeless people that were, one way or another, in small groups to some extent, through toleration. Yeah, there was drug use. There's going to be drug use anyway, everywhere. That's not the issue. The issue is community for people, people supporting each other. And that group of people forced porta potties and wash stations and other kinds of obvious things to be placed that, once the Ross Camp was dispersed, have disappeared, along with the disappearance of Ross Camp, and have not yet reappeared. In fact, you know, Loudon Nelson bathrooms continue to be shut to you unless you can prove you're in a program. And people are being treated in very overt ways as essentially dangerous, criminal, crazy, addicted, and so irresponsible. We're all addicted to different things. That's not the issue. The issue is how we behave towards each other. But the real issue also is the narrative. The narrative that this city is pushing through the Sentinel, through Martine Bernal, through Andy Mills, through all these leaders who are telling the liberals who have backed away that there is housing for people, there's enough, we're working on it, wait a few. We have a committee, the CATCH committee, that's working on housing. But the truth is that they don't have this. And they have lied about this for years. I mean, we have Linda here, who spoke, was chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force years ago. Keith can probably tell you about the fact that time and time again, the city has come up with the obvious. Bathrooms, places to sleep, police, lay off. All these things are obvious. And yet, they don't do them because their real objective is to serve people who are wealthier, who have money. And if that means sacrificing the people who used to live here and can't live here anymore, whether they're renters or people outside, that's what they're doing. So I encourage us to step forward as best we can. And it's not easy for people who are outside to do this. You know, you've got to have somebody to watch your stuff. You got to worry about all kinds of things when you come to these kinds of protests, even this memorial. But when we get together and do this kind of stuff, it gives me encouragement. It gives me hope. I've been watching this stuff go on for years. And I think I'll turn this over to Keith, who can maybe talk more about what's happening on Tuesday.
Thank you, Robert. So on Tuesday at 4, we're going to have a memorial service. We're borrowing chairs and to set up like we have done in past memorials. But we're going to show up in the morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have a vigil all day outside of City Hall so that politicians and city workers that are implementing this war against people on the streets are going to have to face us. And then one of the things that we are going to do is we have a series of 10 demands. The demands that are really that Linda, in the 2000 report that she was a part of, have never been implemented. Or the 2017 City Council report. Or in the grand jury investigation. Or in the CASH that's happening now. So our idea is to spend the day in front of City Hall, and then to have a memorial service from roughly 4 to 5. And then there is a CASH meeting at Loudoun Nelson. Well, they will again talk about how they're going to talk about. And so we can go down there en masse and not talk about anything, but show them something. Show them that we are powerful, that we are not going to put up with this. And one suggestion is to stay at City Hall and make that the new Ross camp until they end the towing of people's homes, until they stop coming along here and sweeping everyone away over and over again, taking all their belongings on every street, until they fire the people responsible. Andy Mills, Martine Bernal, Susie O'Hare. We need to get, they have spent years waging a war against people on the street.
Sarah. Well, taking their money.
Well, and then we are also demanding that October 27th every year be designated Desiree Quintero Day, and that the Mayor Watkins signed a proclamation saying that that will always be remembered from here on, forever, in Santa Cruz, as a day to remember Desiree. We're also advocating that we seize the Civic Auditorium until there is adequate shelter for people, that there are transition camps that we manage, not that Salvation Army manages, that we have camps where when you want to go to do something, you are free to do it. When you want to go to the restroom, you are free to do so. If you want to come and go, that is you. We are adults. We are the ones that built this country. We should not be treated like children, like somehow we're lesser than. We are not. How many of us are on the streets because of having worked for this system and injured our bodies? How many? Many of us
live on these streets because we were the victims of helping some billionaire stay a billionaire.
Negligent landlord.
Slumlords. Like with Desiree, she mentioned she didn't want to live in a Section 8 home with cockroaches. That should not be a sentence to the street and a sentence to die under a tree in the Poconos. That should never happen. So we need to be united and strong, and I hope to see you in midday or in the morning at City Hall, and to stay with us. And that if we decide to, as a group, that evening after going to the cash meeting, that we want to set up a new transitional camp at City Hall, that we do so. Yet they need to know that this is the end of the road of treating us like dirt. That's the death of Desiree is that final line in the sand where we're not going to take it anymore. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Sonny.
All right, my name is Sonny, and I've known Desiree for quite a long time. And with that Ross encampment, damn, that woman had a big heart. That woman had power. That woman had a coordination with everybody out here. Those who had actually didn't have a house, or when it was raining at that Ross encampment, she taught me one thing. You know what I mean? Reaching out to our leaders, our elders, our individual ones, taking care of them, giving them what they need. So I sacrificed my tent for Desiree to actually have something a little bit better for her. When that Ross encampment started, that tent had not moved from that tent, that Ross encampment, at all. That woman had a big heart, so much love that she said, you know what? Come here. Look it. Do we have eye to eye? No, come here. Do we have eye to eye? Slap you in the face right there. You know, we don't have that connection? No, come here. Do we have eye to eye? Now, that woman had power. She was so strong, stronger than a man. She'll kick that man's butt out of the house like nothing. But you know what? That woman had power that's in each and every one of you. If you guys remember Desiree, that woman had so much soul in her bloodlines that what she did for her son and what her son's doing now, creating a destiny worldwide, a nationwide, a following generation. You mean, she always told me, if you reach one out, you can teach one. That person will lead another one, just like how they've been taught. You mean, how much knowledge do we have to gain out here in the streets? I got street knowledge. I don't got that school knowledge. Okay? Now that woman, she showed me something. Doctors, look what's around you. If you guys have something in your heart or in that body inside of you that's still beating, you should care about the others who are out here, because they're the ones who are going to actually help you. As family, as one, unite in our unity and our community, nationwide. So while she's up there flying, she's got her wings over us. We are protected. We are those ones to lead, to teach, and to grow. Now, I've been stripped away from everything. And that woman actually showed me something. Strength, power, standing up. I got a voice.
You're here.
Just like that woman had too. And what she says, I love you all equally.
Sunny. That's the fitting. You've got something? Great.
Hey, my name's Ego, but that's not important. I consider myself a soldier in the war on poverty. But if I'm a soldier, Desiree was the general. You know, and I didn't know her, but I've talked to her before. And it's a tragedy that she had to go like this, but she had to go at all. But what's going to, she taught us all something. Pay it forward, love each other. And you know what? Her dying, it's a tragedy. But the thing is, it's going to spur the movement. And we need to unite and love each other. And none of us are free long as one of us doesn't have a warm bed to sleep in. You know, Desiree taught us to love each other and have compassion for each other. You know, somebody said she was a little gruff, but she cared about people. So let her be an example for all of us. God bless Desiree.
All right. Thank you. Sarah, did you want to say something?
It'll all be
okay. Any last words before we start getting too cold and hanging around out here? Okay.
Hi, my name's Wes Wyatt. I'm from Salinas, the homeless union down there. Just wanted to let you know that on Tuesday, tomorrow, we'll be going up to Sacramento. There's about 7 or 8 homeless unions just in the state of California. So we are gaining a lot of momentum and energy in the right direction, and we need your help. We need fundraising, we need marketing, we need promoting. What we really need is when people go outside and they're outside, they get confronted. We need evidence. So video, you know, Cop Watch, you ever heard of that? Just video the entire encounter. As soon as the police show up, video. If you can't, you know, document everything, because we need this for evidence. There's only 2 things the city understands, and that's lawsuits and voting. So lawsuits is the evidence piece, and the voting. So register to vote where you are. Doesn't matter where you're at. Just describe the location. Look it up. You know, there's addresses all around.
Tell them where to send them.
Where do you want to send
our phone numbers or our emails? You can send that information to alicia1l@hotmail.com. That's A-L-I-C-I-A, the number 1l@hotmail.com. Or you can text us if something happens locally. My number is 831-431-7766. That's the local chapter of the California Homeless Union. And you can call me anytime. And send us the email, send us the evidence. We're preparing another lawsuit. That's another announcement that we wanted to make, is that we intend to hold the city of Santa Cruz accountable, and we're going to be filing a lawsuit for wrongful death and for emotional distress, and we want them to be accountable and make changes around here. So.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I'm Lucero Luna. I'm Lucero Luna. I came from Southern California in 2015, and when funds disappeared, the homeless service center, we lost beds, daily beds, and the breakfast and the dinner, and then and so the police criminalization increased. So we funded Freedom Sleepers, and we were protesting weekly by camping out, and then. After the year of anniversary, there was no changes. So I raised the bar, and I was reclaiming public space here on Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, and I was banned for 12 months because this was my turf. I would wake up and follow they used to be called the Park Rangers Downtown Unit, when they were harassing people and waking them up. So I was following them in the morning, at 7 in the morning. And so when I couldn't do that, I didn't see a purpose to be here. So I went back to Southern California. And so last year, I chose again to be in the streets to document the injustice in Ventura, California. And I got arrested a lot. They tried everything they could to intimidate me and squeeze me out of not Ventura County, but three counties. And supposedly I have been banned for all the parks over there. Okay. So then when I didn't get scared anymore, but I did need a break because it was taking a toll on my body in solitary confinement at the psychiatric hospital in the county. They put me in a 14-day hold and all this stuff. So I got housed in Claremont. But then, it was not a life for me. I had to go back to the streets and document. And so, I have I have a court on the 14th that I have to go back to. Yes, I have to change my guilty plea of not guilty of trespassing and plead guilty to the serving the peace so they can drop the trespassing case. And I got a conviction of battery against one of the security called park ambassadors in Ventura that she was pushed to convince me to accept a one-way ticket back to Santa Cruz where they found out I came from as a freedom sleeper activist. So when that didn't work, the harassment increased. And so one day, I'm coming out of the Crown Plaza Hotel, and I'm going like this. I don't want her to approach me. And I did have a Dixie cup of little water, so I went like this, and I did. I threw it, and it landed on her cheek. So I was found guilty of battery. But they omitted the body cameras of the arresting officers because she kept saying, she's crazy, she's migrant. And they edited the 911 call and took away the word homeless. So yeah, I got, what is it, justice, what is it? Equal justice under the law, except for my my status, right? So I've been housed, I've been unhoused, I've been a vehicle dweller, I've been sheltered, and I've been on shelter in this county and in Ventura County. I have a very issue with the word homeless because I have never known what it is to be at home over the family that care. So I didn't want to be part of the Ventura chapter of the California Homeless Union because they had the word homeless. But because of my legal situations there, I said, because of my legal situation, the harassment of the Ventura County PD, I said, I think I should start it. So we did. We have 55 members now in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Anyhow, so I am here to show that our lives do matter even after our death.
Thank you so much. So Lucero was on the front lines of the Freedom Sleepers for 2 years. And we actually, the direct success of that was 1220 River Street would be the outcome of that. But that's not a satisfying outcome. But it is one step in the step towards liberation. But thank you all so much for coming to honor Desiree. It means a lot to the family, I'm sure, to definitely to us and her friends. And we really hope that you will continue on this struggle and that you will join us again and bring 12 or 15 other people on Tuesday at 4 to City Hall to make sure that this city does not blind to the violence that they are intentionally using our tax dollars against us. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Keith.